Does it get any better than Van Morrison covering Bob Dylan? I don't know. Just Like a Woman. This was actually a live recording from 1971. Morrison played a little club. It was called the Lion's Share Club in San Anselmo, California, which is no longer around. But he played that club something like a dozen times back in the early 70s. So if you were fortunate to catch him at one of those shows and you heard him perform this live, you count yourself very fortunate. If you like what you hear, you might want to check out my weekly syndicated radio program. It's called The Conspiracy Show. It airs out of Toronto on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. Plus, we have about 35 affiliates across North America. For more information, go to the website strangeplanet.ca. strangeplanet.ca. And we also stream the program Sunday nights at 11 p.m. We stream it live on YouTube. So take a minute and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Your phone calls, questions, and comments for Ali Siadatan coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Ali Siadatan stays with us, documentary filmmaker, and his latest project is Goliath Rising, Hybrids, Nephilim, and Titans. And you can go to the website thinkagainproductions.com to see the trailer. You can also sign up for the newsletter and keep up to date on when the installments of this project will be released on YouTube and later on Vimeo. Now, before the break, I was asking you, Ali, it seems to me, given the current numbers, if this alien-human hybrid program continues, by the time of the Second Coming, there won't be anyone left.
Yeah, you're right. So the Second Coming has to happen in a timely manner, and they say that God is always on time, so that, you know, the contamination doesn't become such that, you know, there's no point. But there's definitely the signs are here that we are within the season of this event. Moving forward, there's going to be lots of very strange things that kind of are like biblical times that we haven't really seen for a while, and it's going to appear strange. Like, for instance, there's this guy that rises, and he does miracles. He's in a position of leadership, and there's actually more than one of them. There's these two witnesses that preach in Jerusalem, it says in the Bible, and they're very powerful, and they do all kinds of miracles, and they're killed, and then they're left for dead, and they're brought back to life, and everyone sees it, because I assume it's going to be on the news, and then they ascend. They're taken, they're called by God. There are these angels who are kept in the river Euphrates that goes back to the stories of before the flood, who are released. There's this pit out of which, you know, these beings emerge. There's lots coming. And I think that's why God is opening our mind to all of these passages of Scripture that have been so hidden for so long, because we are the generation that needs some education to understand the kind of world we're heading towards. And we have to understand that God is in control, and that this means the cavalry is on the way, and these are the birth pangs of the Second Coming, which will usher in an age of peace.
Are these hybrids, and I keep referring them to them as alien human hybrids, but they're not. They are fallen angel human hybrids. Do they have a soul?
I don't know. The Book of Enoch says that the demons, the spirits that you're referring to, are the spirits of the Nephilim. The Book of Enoch says that when the Nephilim were killed, the God put it in their heart to kill each other, and their bodies were buried on the ground naturally, but their spirit continued to hover the earth, and that is what is the origin of evil spirits and demons, which are different from the fallen angels who are physical beings. So do they have a soul? I don't know, but they do have these spirits.
All right, and they will be enlisted in Satan's army, I suppose, in the final battle of good versus evil. Is that the idea?
Well, I've come to the conclusion that there are three categories of hybrids. One is the rulers. and they are coming from these long-lasting bloodlines of hybrids. Then there is this massive number of hybrids that are created whose purpose is to essentially be a new race. And then, yes, I do believe that there's also a military division to the hybrid program. But Dr. Jacobs' research is only a small window, but a window that is accurate and empirical enough that makes us understand that there's something going on. And so we can, you know, that it's a good thing, but it's only a window into one of the categories of these of a hybrid reality.
All right, let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, Shara is in Sacramento, California. Good morning, Shara. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Richard, and hi,
hi
Ellie.
There.
It's great to talk to you again. I talked to you last time we were on, and I've been meaning to get in touch with you. I've been going through surgery. I hope you can understand me right now. I just had massive oral surgery, so I'm going to try to quickly get through. If there's time, three questions, I'll just ramble them off real quick.
All right, fire away.
Okay, thank you. The Sumerian king list extremely long periods of time for the rulers. As a scholar, I was taught that that's just kind of a stylistic thing they did. Do you believe that they actually had Watcher, Nephilim, Bloodline, actually did live the thousands of years? Second question, do you think that there are any of the Watchers that are possibly good and looking out for humans and seeking redemption in the eyes of God, any of the fallen, or any of the orders of Watchers that did not go in either of the two falls? And third question, real quick, that I'll tack on again. Do you think that Enoch might be one of the two witnesses?
All right. Let's start with the Sumerians. They, the bloodline of the Sumerian rulers, they lived thousands of years.
The king list, before the flood, you know, puts enlists all these kings who have extremely long lives, extremely long dynasties. They are into the thousands, into the tens of thousands. I do believe that before the flood, we were living longer lives. The environment was different, but also our genetic programming was changed, I think, after the flood, because God reduced life to 120 years after the flood. So before the flood, these guys interacted in the world where humans lived longer, because we are the son, the children of the one who has made the image of Elohim. It says that in the Bible. And these guys are the children of Elohim. So definitely we're the same world. And before the flood, we lived longer, and their offsprings also lived longer. They did definitely rule for hundreds of years, it says in the book of Enoch. So I do believe that Sumerian kingless is accurate in presenting a longer dynastic rule of these kings before the flood.
All right. Then she asked about
the
Watchers.
The number is extremely large. So I've always wanted to look into the math as to how is it that those numbers were calculated, because I find them to be extremely large.
Okay. Now the Watchers. Were any of the Watchers good?
No. The Bnei HaElohim, the sons of God, which are called the Watchers in the book of Enoch, all of them have been judged. There's 250 of them. The leaders are named in the book of Enoch. They have been arrested, and it says in the one of the letters of Peter that Christ went and visited them, and they are, it's done. They've been judged, and the ones that are continuing to create hybrids today seem to be following suit, and they'll receive the same judgment. So, no, I don't think. As far as is Enoch going to be one of the two witnesses? Well, he's one of the candidates. So there's Enoch, Elijah, and Moses. These are the three candidates, and Enoch is, like Elijah, was taken up. And so, yes, he may be, you know, one of the two witnesses.
All right. A great call, Shara. Great questions. Again, to the wild, we have a lot of wild card lines. Brenda is in New Mexico. Brenda, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you so much, Richard, for this show. It was a long time in coming about the great deception that's mentioned in the Bible. I have a question for Allie about the Rh factor. If it's part of the Nephilim blood, that symbolically seems to fight with the human mother blood. And also, how does the caliphate, the rise of Islam, play into the Nephilim, as the Antichrist is from the Syrian Turkey descent? And Ergonom right now is considered the living God. of the Islamic community. And I don't know if you noticed, but there was a Tower of Babel put into New York City and one in London on September 19th of this year.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting. And I know Egypt, Ethiopia, and what was the other city, are all part of the rise of the Islamic community. Because once they get part of that, then we know for sure that we're in the end times. And I know the false prophet, which is the Pope, he's purporting Islam right now, too. So that's how I know we are really close to the end times. So I just want to know your take on that.
So the original question at the beginning was, what's the question, sorry, exactly?
The Rh factor, if that's part of it.
Oh, yes, the Rh factor in the blood.
Yes. Yes. So, yes, there is, as you said, research in the fact that there may be a connection between that and the idea of a Nephilim bloodline. Definitely, there's enough in the scriptures of historical accounts of these guys being among us that they must have a different bloodline signature. And so, yes, I do believe that that may be, in fact, a window into understanding their bloodline signature.
In other words, abductees and the hybrids would be missing the Rh factor.
Yeah, the abductees, I believe, are those who are the descendants of older bloodlines of Nephilim. And that is why they are abducted, because they have a predisposition genetically to provide the best material for the creation of new hybrids. There's something about them that is, you know, that ties into the deeper bloodline contamination that, you know, Jesus talks about in the parable of the seed and of the wheat and tares.
Is that like the Hitler eugenics, where he was trying to make the Aryan nation? Is that a tie-in with that?
Yeah. These guys, they are obsessed with the human genome, because we are the children of the one who is made in the image of God, and there's lots of mystery in us that hasn't been unlocked, and definitely they are developing science to unlock that mystery and exploit it. And I think Hitler, the eugenics program, was part of, you know, creating that ideal being through this thinking, which is what, you know, Christ is creating through the resurrection. The new race, you know, that rises from the ashes of the old one and receives a new body of the second coming. So this is kind of a competing kingdom that's trying to be created through these, you know, mechanical devices that are not so miraculous as God's power is, but nevertheless powerful.
Brenda, thank you for that. Let me move on here, if I could, yet again on the wild card line. Nathan is in Middletown, Ohio. Nathan, good morning.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
What I basically wanted to say, well, I'll say it like this. I'm an abductee.
Yes.
And I agree with you that it is definitely a biblical biblical in nature. But I disagree with the fact that you are relying heavily on David Jacobs' work. David Jacobs is a respected researcher, but he's not an experiencer or an abductee.
Right.
So he's all his experiences through hypnosis. I am an abductee, but I've never experienced a hybrid.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. And your recollections of your abduction, have they come from your conscious memory or through hypnosis?
Conscious memory.
So you remember everything about being abducted, but there's no hybrid involved in your scenario, in your narrative?
No, there are some hybrids, but they're not far enough along that you would think that they were human in any way.
Yeah. I see what you're saying, that he's not himself abducted. The advantage of
kind of a third party who looks into the testimony, of 1,200 accounts. It provides kind of someone who doesn't have a bias, who's just looking at what other people are saying, and suddenly he may see a commonality in the account of various people, for instance, and then that points to a picture. There's a credibility in that kind of an eyewitness, where someone is simply recording verbatim the accounts of hundreds of people, and suddenly a picture emerges that he can point to that is independent of his own manipulation or thought. There's a value in that. Now, he does say that there are many hybrids that do not look human. And in fact, in my last documentary, I have this him talking about how a person will be taken to a room and they will be shown a series of hybrids, and they have to pick the ones that they can recognize that don't look human. And so his belief is that genetic material is removed and one hybrid is created. From that one, genetic material is removed and a second one is created. And it's only the third batch that tends to look very human. So there is kind of a stepping stone to create that one that looks human. And they are not all in that category. And the abductees talk about many hybrids that don't look, as you say, human. So that's part of the accounts that is also coming from other people, what you're saying. And do you experience telepathy?
Oh, yes. I have psychic attacks on a fairly regular basis, actually.
Yes. And what is kind of, is there a general message that you feel is coming to you?
My whole life it's been, it's something that's been going on my whole life. So I've had many messages.
And Nathan, do you feel that these are demonic in nature?
I've definitely had encounters that I thought were demonic in nature, yeah. And, I mean, some things just flat out look demonic. And I don't mean grays. I mean, I've probably seen 10 to 15 different types of beings, which leads to it. The more beings you're seeing, the less likely it is that it's just aliens. Because it's hard for me to believe that there's a, like a Star Trekian galactic alliance. We don't know anything about it. It makes much more sense that they're interdimensional in some way, and if they're interdimensional, it makes much more sense that they're.
Well, the advantage of the biblical narrative is that it talks about these other beings, and then it puts in the story, and as you follow the breadcrumbs of the story through archaeology, history, prophecy, and one's own, spiritual experiences with God, it actually makes sense. And a complete story emerges, and which this allows us to say, okay, well, the biblical narrative is actually explaining to us the true nature of reality, and then we can understand that we are inside of, God's creation. We don't quite understand. It's a mystery. How you move in it, we don't exactly know. But we do know who these beings are. They are the Elohim.
All right.
And
Nathan, thank you for the call. Ali, stay put. We'll take more calls, questions, comments for Ali C. Adatan. Here's Loudon Wainwright III and the Swimming Song, taking us into the break here on Coast to Coast AM. Ah, there she goes, my muse, the patron saint of late night radio. Crazy in the Night, Kim Carnes. And when you hear her, you know we are into the home stretch. Just wanted to mention another George Noory live event coming up. This one is in July, and it's July 29th, actually, at the Everett Theater in Everett, Washington. Radio to stage. Enjoy the grand experience. Danheiser Wagner Entertainment brings the world's number one late-night radio show to the stage. Enjoy watching George Noory, host of Coast to Coast AM, Emmy Award winner to boot, and as he interviews some of today's brightest experts in the world of ufology, paranormal, conspiracy, and all things unexplained. This three-hour stage show consists of interviews combined with video, music, and singing, which create an unforgettable experience for theatergoers and fans of the hugely popular Coast to Coast AM radio show. And again, that's July 29th, that's a Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. at the Everett Theater in Everett, Washington. For more info or tickets, just go to coasttocoastam.com, and up in the main menu, you'll see George Norrie's events. Click on that, and you're there. Back to your questions and comments for Ali Siadatin as we continue to delve into Goliath Rising, Hybrids, Nephilim, and Titans, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Ali Siadatin, thinkagainproductions.com. So, Ali, the first installment of Goliath Rising, approximately when do you expect it to be out, and what is this, what is the subject matter for the first segment?
The first segment deals with the transference of power, the scepter of rule, from, you know, the fallen angelic world into the human world, and kind of follows these Nephilim kings and bloodlines all the way to the one that is going to be the seed of the serpent that's rising. It kind of looks at the power structure that is being established and how it's all put together. And my hope is to have it out by the end of 2017 for, you know, the Christmas period. That's what we're aiming for. We are contacting guests all the time that we're going to interview, so that's where that's the first installment, and that's what we're hoping for.
All right. The gentleman that looms large in this documentary series is L.A. Marzulli, our good friend L.A., who's a frequent guest on this program. How does L.A.'s work figure into this documentary?
Well, L.A. has done a great job of, you know, really digging out the evidence of the Nephilim throughout the ages, whether it's writings, and now he's focusing on the Americas, where he believes that, you know, when the children of Israel defeated the Nephilim, they kind of walked over the Bering Strait and came to the Americas. And so he's really going to help us bring the reality of the Nephilim to light. We're also, you know, interviewed Dr. Jacobs. We are going to be talking to, his name escapes me right now, it's very late here at night. He's written a book called The Unseen Realm, and his name is Michael Heiser. And really, he's excellent for establishing the angelic power structure that exists between, you know, these so-called gods and the nations. Which is a very important part of the puzzle, because the Watchers, or the Sons of God, the Benai Elohim, are one section of a much larger story, and you really need all of the sections put together to understand, okay, how does this particular part fit? And it's not just all about the Watchers. It appeared that way at the very beginning of the research, you know, decades ago, because that's what we found out. But over time, we have gradually blown the dust cover off the larger structure of which the Watchers or the Sons of the Elohim are one section. So what Dr. Heiser brings is kind of a larger understanding of this structure.
All right, let me grab another phone call here, Ali. Let's go west of the Rockies. Elizabeth is in Idaho this morning. Good morning, Elizabeth. Welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, our pleasure.
I think I might be able to offer some information to you, Ali. I work in the reincarnation field behind the scenes, and I've been working on my cases for many years now, since about 2011. I got involved, I started having past life memories back in 2005 with one of my identities. And just so you know, the seriousness of what I'm claiming, I didn't just make this up. I actually went to proper researchers. I went to Dr. Walter Semkew, and from there, Kevin Ryerson, which, Richard, you probably know who Kevin Ryerson is, the intuitive who works with Shirley MacLaine.
Yes.
Okay. So he's very well known for excellent Akashic Record reading, and that is who I went to learn about my identities. And I think if you get the right person in front of you, and maybe I'm going to be that person for you, who has an identity tied to one of these gods, which I do, I might be able to fill in some of the missing pieces for you, because I'm seeing patterns. And one thing when you do reincarnation cases is you'll notice patterns, which definitely to me suggests that we are living in a computer simulation. But some of the patterns that started showing up in my cases, and these are my core past life identifications. So these would be significant or prominent past lives. I noticed threes and sevens following me from one incarnation to the next. And I knew there was something to this, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. And one day, as I was looking at my cases and that of another person who's from my soul group, it's like this rhyme popped in my head, follow the threes and the sevens, and then one might know who the gods are from the heavens. And that was a big clue for me, because I could see that pattern repeating not only with my colleague, who's also from the soul group, but also other people from our soul group. And I come from the soul group Archangel Michael and Raphael, which is the Elohim. And of course, my name, Elizabeth, L for Elohim. You will see these patterns and names in your incarnations that will repeat. And it's all vibrational, and I still haven't quite figured this out yet, but I've noticed the repetitions in the names. And since I come from the Christ line, I was noticing, you know, like my names would either be Mary or Madeline, Helene. My Greek goddess status was of Artemis. So a few incarnations later, I incarnated as a Helene. And another incarnation before that was St. Mary Helena Salome. And I wanted to bring this up because I noticed that you had studied the Nazarenes. Is that correct?
The Nazarene, yes, I have.
Okay. Do you know what the meaning of Nazara is?
No, but I do know that the city or the town of Nazareth gets its name from Netzeret, which means offshoot or branch, because there's many prophecies in the Bible about the offshoot or branch that would come out of the family of Jesse, who's the father of David. And a group of these guys decided that they would call themselves the Netzerites, the offshoots, and they eventually settled in that town, and that's why it's called Netzeret. It's a Hebrew word for offshoot, and that's kind of been a recent discovery where we found a document from about 2,000 years ago where the list of priests that were assigned to that village was listed, and there we saw how the name was actually spelled. And to our shock, we realized the name of that town was never Nazareth. It was Netzeret, and it came from the Hebrew word Netzer, and kind of opened up this understanding of this group of David's family who considered themselves to be the recipients of this prophecy, that one of them would become this particular offshoot of King David, who would be the King of Kings. And so that's why they call themselves Netzerites, and that's why they settled there, and that's why the town was called Netzer, and Joseph and Mary were obviously of this group of people.
All right, Elizabeth, I want to thank you for that. I want to move on to some other callers and working in as many as we can here. Richard is on the first-time caller line from California. Good evening, good morning, Richard. Welcome.
Good morning, Richard. Ollie, my question is for you.
Yes.
I'd like to know what you believe the main or central theme of the Bible is, and how does that relate to the discussions you're having this evening?
Sorry, the main what?
The main theme
of the Bible.
Oh, the main theme of the Bible. The main theme of the Bible is the fall and redemption of the Adamic race. So the what happens in the Garden of Eden, where Adam is a very important person in this cosmic tale, and when he's condemned to death because Satan plays a chess game, and he has ambitions of being the one who receives power and authority from God, so he wants to kind of, I guess, eliminate Adam, and he plays a chess game, and he says, okay, listen, why don't you do this? And what Adam does condemns him to death according to God's own laws. He's kind of playing chess with God, saying, look, I just made a suggestion, that's all. He did something that now you have to, you know, exile him for and destroy him for, kill him for. And the rest of the story of the Bible is the reversal of that event, is how Adam is restored and redeemed, because instead of destroying him, God shows him and all the other creatures who are watching the story immense love by coming and dying in Adam's stead and restoring Adam in this cosmic tale, and restoring the world and continuing to allow Adam to grow and become what he was always destined to be. And so I think this is what the story of the Bible is about. And this great cosmic tale involves all these characters, involves, you know, these hybrids, involves prophecy, involves
you know, vehicles. This is who we are, and this is the story we find ourselves in. And I think the Word of God has always been here to be a light for us so that we could understand the nature of reality and the story in which we find ourselves and who we are. But the waters have been murkied because the other side has also filled the earth with knowledge and information and with the codes of reality, these competing structures of religions, essentially.
All right, let's go back to the wild card line. And Cornelius is in Alexandria, Louisiana. Cornelius, good morning.
Good morning, Richard and Ali. I got tail torch on the God guns and gold man, the Bible bullets and beans man, telling everybody to get ready. My question for you, I don't know if you saw that article by Elon Musk saying that everybody has to be chipped. So I think that's the mark of the beast. So I'll take my answer off the air.
What do you make of that, Ali? Elon Musk wants everyone chipped.
Yeah. So yeah, that's possible. That's you know, that's been an interesting idea. When that's one thing we discovered early on with some abductees is that they actually came back with chips. Dr. Roger Lear, who's passed away, but you know, whose research I studied thoroughly, who was pulling these things out. It seemed very advanced. And the largest chip maker of the world is Alien Technologies Corporation, and you can go on their website. So definitely, because the abductees have this in them, I think it's possible that once the power structure of the final kingdom is established and this what I believe is going to be led by the Western Confederacy of powers, once they take control, yes, a decree may go out, and what are the circumstances that make that, I don't know, that we all have to be chipped now. Marks, and is this mark, this chip? It's possible, because it says that if you don't have it, you can't buy or sell. We now know that money has become electronic, and so it's possible that this chip is how you access the banking system and how it's your passport, it's your identity, it's all of these things. And if you don't have it, well, then you're a suspect character. Well, you know, you're outside of the empire. You're part of the rebellion. It's possible. It's a conjecture. We'll have to wait and see. But there's
all right, Cornelius. Thank you for the call. How easy or difficult is it to spot a modern day hybrid?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think about that daily. It is difficult. I spend a lot of time studying the jaw lines and the drawings that are sent to me to see if there's any common jawline features that I can come up with. I do believe that looking into their eyes might be revealing. The eyes are the window into the soul or into the nervous system, into the brain. There's something there to be touched. Perhaps their energetic field is different, you know, the way they feel, their vibe, we would say. So I don't know. I don't have an exact answer, but that's something that I'm working on.
All right. Wildcard line, Linda is in Canada. Good morning, Linda.
Hello, Richard.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Thomas, La Jolla, California.
Hey, Thomas.
My question for you, Ali, fascinating thesis, by the way, and I look forward to your video at the end of the year. My question, Ali, is about bloodlines and genetics.
Yeah.
Can we ultimately overcome our genetics, our bloodline, through redemption? And specifically, if you have a bloodline or genetics of the reptilians or the titans, the hybrids, the Nephilim, so to speak, can you be redeemed? Can you be, even with those genetics, can you be redeemed? In my opinion, all things are possible with God, but I'm curious about your opinion.
That's a great question, Thomas. Great question.
Yes, I'm curious, Ali, whether you believe in redemption, no matter what the genetics are.
Yes. I think that God knows who's who, and what makeup of genetics makes you more human, what is it that makes you more Nephilim, and ultimately, you know, which category you fit in. I think that the Messiah definitely became a human and died for the humans. The parable of the wheat and tares suggests that the contamination is very deep, because when the servants of God say, why don't we go and remove the tares, that which Jesus says was the seed of the devil, God responds that they're so connected to my wheat that if should you pull the tares out, you're going to also destroy the wheat. Wait until the end of the age, and then we'll separate them, and the tares we will burn, but the wheat we'll put in my barns. So there seems to be, you know, a separation. The ones that are completely 100% Nephilim, I'm not sure there's redemption for them. I think that they were never meant to exist, essentially. And they're not part of God's creation. God never intended that to be created. God never created that. It was something that was, you know, fathomed in dark minds. So they're gone. But the humans who have been over the centuries contaminated by this, I think the contamination is so deep. And yes, you definitely can be, you know, redeemed and saved and restored, even if you have aspects of that blood in you. I think that many more of us may have some of that in us than we think.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Thomas. Great question. Great call. So let's remind people again that if they want to see the trailer for Goliath Rising, they can go to thinkagainproductions.com. And how do they sign up for the newsletter there so that they can keep abreast of the development?
Sign up for a newsletter and stay informed. And I suggest that people do that, and the YouTube channel as well. And our first documentary, UFOs, Angels, and Gods, is there to be watched for free. And it'll kind of give you some taste of the kind of work that we do.
Excellent. And again, that's UFOs, Angels, and Gods. And that is kind of a nice primer. Or primer, rather, for Goliath Rising. And ultimately, how many parts will Goliath Rising be?
I don't know. And as the research comes in, I'm putting the series. I realized once I had all the information that this would be too much to put in a single documentary. So it's right now divided into three parts. But beyond that, I don't know.
All right. ThinkAgainProductions.com. Ali, thank you for the last 3 hours. Enjoyed it immensely.
Yes, I enjoyed it as well. Thank you, Richard.
Ali Siadatan. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Chris Burrows, Sean Latasor, Nathan Staten, and Tricia Pepe, here in Toronto, Nathan Smith, Scotty Guest, and Michael Downey, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next time, so long for now.